This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund. We are in the visiting coach's box high above Alaska Airlines Field on the 50-yard line. And this box was not used today because there was no visiting coaches, but it's kind of cool looking down at the stadium. It's dark outside, and they got the inside the stadium is all lit up with the purple LEDs. So it's kind of cool looking down there.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Usually we were recording it basically once we got into October. Basically, every time we recorded, it was dark and it was purple out there.
Yeah, no, it looks good. Can't see the... Let me see a little bit of reflection out on Lake Washington, but looks good.
As you turn your body away from the mic so no one can hear you.
Sometimes I just do stuff to get a reaction out of you. It's actually pretty easy.
I'm
going to go to Staples and get that easy button.
I'm easily triggered, Kim. This is like preseason for us. This is like spring training. Let's get going. Let's get this going.
Spring game, probably the biggest spring game crowd we've seen in quite some time with, 18,000?
Yeah, almost 19. 18,848, something like that.
Yeah, no.
18,448, that's what it was.
Yeah, and that was actually, I mean, you guys talked to, you know, the guy, but that was actually not just an estimate, but that was scanned tickets.
Yeah, scanned tickets. And the original quote that we got was, what, 15,500? And then later on, the guy who we were talking to came over and said, hey, there were several scanners that were offline, so we didn't get this. It's actually 18,448. So.
Yeah, pretty not a bad crowd considering what was going on. Mm-hmm. 520 is a mess. You've got Windermere Cup going on tomorrow. There's a lot of boats out there.
Well, I was going to say, if you think it's a mess now, it's going to be an absolute cluster about 12 hours from now.
No, coming over 520 was not easy tonight, Scott. So
rush hour on Friday, that's just what we get.
Yeah, so like I said, just there was a lot of boats out there out of the log boom already going to be spending the night out there. But hey, Chris, what was the final score of the game?
Final score was 24-23.
Can you break that down for us?
I have no idea how they got there. Yeah. Not a clue how they got there.
Well, I know how purple got all, or I'm sorry, yeah, the purple team got all their points.
Well, okay.
They got all theirs off of...
I encourage you to explain. Yeah,
but the white one, the white points, I don't know where those came from.
I like, they went for two, and they were only up, when they were down three, they went for two, and it's like, yeah, under no normal circumstances would they ever do that. So it felt like they were just kind of doing that for drill when Jeremiah Hunter had the one touchdown in the one corner, and then he got the two-point conversion on the other corner. Both really, really good plays for the receiver, the transfer from Cal. But, you know, overall, I mean, I have some really unofficial stats that I can roll down. But
just real quick before we go there, I just want to mention before we get into the game, lots of NFL guys here, lots of former players here today. It was Michael Penix showed up. The rock star Michael Penix was actually here.
By far the biggest cheer. I think he threw up the dubs and like everyone got pumped. And because I was wondering, we were trying to figure out what was going on up in the press box, and people are doing absolutely nothing. And it was like a break in the action, so we couldn't even tell what was really happening. And then all of a sudden, we looked at the Jumbotron, and all of a sudden, it's Penix. It's like, oh, people are going nuts. Yeah. It's like, okay, so that makes sense.
So obviously, Jake Locker, Danny Shelton, Lincoln Kennedy, Marcus Peters, Shaq Thompson, those were the coaches, right?
Those were the ones that were all up at the midway point to do the coin toss.
And then the other guys I saw Devin Culp. I saw Mike Penix, obviously. Who else was there?
Nate Coleppo.
Yeah, that was a little weird. Nate Coleppo and Asa Turner.
I mean, Nate, not so much, because he's from here. I mean, if he's coming to visit, he's coming to visit. He knows...
Yeah.
You know, tons of guys in the
and
team.
And Asa,
still.
I mean, Asa and Cam Fab are like best friends, supposedly.
Yeah, West Coast guys.
I saw one of your favorite former players.
Yeah.
Lobos.
Eric Lobos.
Eric Lobos?
With his kid messing around and his football fell and went out on the playing field.
Venice Flash.
Who was the left tackle when Jake Locker was here? He's from Hawaii.
Micah Hatchie.
Micah Hatchie was down there. I saw him. Yeah.
Isn't Micah, doesn't he still live around here?
Yeah, he does.
I thought he did, yeah.
I see him at a lot of games. Well, I just always forget his name.
And we saw both the basketball coaches were involved, Danny Sprinkle and Tina Langley, and then also the soccer coaches, where it looked like the women's soccer coach actually kicked a field goal?
About a 30-yard field goal.
Pretty impressive. Yeah.
Kicked a 30-yard field goal and then did the gritty afterwards. So.
Yeah, just a couple things. Shaq Thompson, had a chance to talk to Shaq Thompson, and we talked about how he committed on Twitter and just basically showed up, tweeted, left.
He broke the internet for a day as far as we're concerned.
Well, that was when we had like 1,500 people in our chat room.
Yeah.
And the whole place just went bananas.
Yeah. Also, did a hand. I had Michael Penix hold up his hand and measured it against mine. And my hands are not small.
Mm-hmm. Sure they are.
They're bigger than yours, Fetters.
Well, I didn't say I had big hands, did I?
About the same as mine.
Yeah, but Michael's fingers, they're a whole knuckle and a half bigger than mine. He's got big hands. So, what was the top 10 ever measured at the combine?
I think maybe for a quarterback. Yeah. I don't know about an offensive lineman. I assume would have pretty good sized hands.
Yeah, and so Michael was wearing an Atlanta Falcons hoodie. So
yeah. Well, we were talking about it because the guys at the Seahawks, like Byron Murphy, some of the rookies were already working out, and we were like, I wonder why Mike's not in Atlanta working out. And we're thinking, God, he might have to do a red eye tonight and do the whole thing. But if he gets a charter and all that stuff, he could probably make it work.
Hey, Mr. Blank, can I borrow your jet for the night?
Yeah. He might be able to make that work.
No, he didn't go to Arthur Blank's. He went to Kirk Cousins and got Kirk's.
or Caleb McGarry's.
Yeah. So Caleb's on his honeymoon. Mm-hmm. I think he's using it.
Yeah, he's not using it.
Yeah. Might be. Yeah. But anyways, just it was an actual game. When was the last time we had an actual spring game, you guys?
Well, I mean, it was, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, the special teams, other than the field goals, everything else was pretty much like if they did punt, but the punt returns were basically give-ups.
This is more of a game than we've had in 20 years.
I
would agree with that for the most part in terms of the scrimmaging part of it. Felt very real. Tackling, all that stuff was great. Still, you couldn't touch the quarterbacks, so it wasn't live, which they would never do anyways. But they give ups on all the returns, so that was one thing. And then, again, there must have been some sort of screwy point system that they must – because we were thinking for the longest time that Efesian's Prysock must have gotten points for the pick that he got that was for a touchback. Because we don't know how they got 3 points on the board early because they had scored anything. So who knows? Because I remember the days where they had the point system, Coach Pete, you can't win spring, and yada, yada, yada. This probably had more elements of an actual game in it, probably compared to other recent ones.
Who stood out to you tonight, Scott?
Oh, boy. Well, Denzel Boston continued. I think he ended spring ball the way he began spring ball, which was just being dominant out there. I would say that Jonah Coleman actually showed up a lot more, and that is due to – and I talked to him afterwards, and that's due to the offensive line. The offensive line playing a lot better. The line was going both ways for both teams all the whole time. So those guys really were putting it out there.
Jeremiah Hunter had another.
Kim – You're killing me. Jeremiah Hunter had some really nice catches. Yeah. Trying to think. There was one play where Denzel Boston had that one catch across the middle and basically threw off Dyson McCutcheon like he was a little kid trying to tackle him.
Well, so. they had a number of those quick little hitch slants, kind of whatever you want to call them. Those little quick hitters, those little two-step drops and release and – It's the difference because I know there's a lot of people that wanted to watch this game or came to Husky Stadium thinking that the quarterback, Damon Williams, was going to come out and really show some explosiveness and be a difference guy because, a lot of us have been hyping him up as being a guy that's had a really strong spring.
He has.
And he has had a really strong spring, Scott. But you could tell the difference in experience when the bullets start flying mm-hmm. between the guy who's accurate and the guy who's really just learning for the first time at this level. Well, that was the main difference.
One other name I wanted to mention that stuck out to me was we learned that Carson Brunner can be a backup kicker and a backup quarterback. Because that throw to Jonah Coleman was about as pretty of a throw as you're going to see.
Yeah, and again, on that backside, he looked like he probably could have gotten clobbered.
Yeah.
So he gets credit for it, but it's like, again, like Thaddeus Dixon got credit for a 36-yard pick six. He probably gets tackled 5 yards after he picks that ball off. It was a great pick. I mean, it was
by Jamon Williams.
Yeah, it was clean.
Well, but the thing is, Jonah Coleman, after the game, when we talked to him, he said, yeah, we walked that through, but we never actually ran that play.
Yeah.
That was not something. And he goes, Coach Cummings just was like, we need a spark. We're going to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, again, and the nice thing is that – but I think the key is when you talk about the game scenario stuff, Kim, they were able to do a lot of end-of-game stuff. Like, both Damon Williams and Will Rogers got scenarios at the end where Grady Gross kicked what you would have considered to be, you know, game-winning, game-time, whatever type field goals, drive the length of the field, that kind of thing, was able to move the clock, use their timeouts, you know, not only just get the players involved in that stuff, but also get the coaches involved in the mechanics and that stuff, because you know that they get rusty on this stuff too.
I think both quarterbacks got a welcome to Husky Stadium moment today. Down on the field, there was wind.
Early for sure.
Yeah, there was a lot of wind down there. And I think Damon Williams made a couple of bad throws in that. And Will Rogers made a horrible throw into the wind. I think he thought he sailed it over the guy's head and the wind held it up. But was it Prysock who got it?
It's about the one in the end zone.
Yeah, the interception. There was a Prysock.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but it was. I knew it was going to be a bad day when they started with the purple flares, and all of a sudden the wind was blowing right in my eyes with my contacts. I thought I got bear maced.
Now the question is, did it feel like it really lightened up in the second half?
It's gusting, more gusting. It was swirling in the to begin with down on the field, but then again it would come up with gusts.
But they completed a lot more passes. It felt, let's put it this way, it felt like they completed a lot more passes in the second half compared to that first half, because especially in that first quarter. They were, depending on if they were going upwind or downwind, the balls were sailing. Or like you said, when they were going into the west end, that's when they were fighting the wind, and that's where that ball got hung up and allowed Prysock to be able to come underneath it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm down on the field, so I can't see what you see, Scott, but Damon Williams was taken off several times and scrambling today. Was he not seeing receivers? Were they not open? No windows?
What
was
I don't think the windows were there for him to throw. I think he was just maybe – I don't even want to say it was like a half second. I'm just saying maybe a half step off in his reads. So maybe a guy had broken open, and by the time Damon saw him, he wasn't open anymore. Or maybe Damon expected him to be open, and he wasn't, and so he took off, and then the guy broke open. You know, I don't know how all of that works. You know, we don't know the play calls or anything like that. But Damon looked – I don't want to say it was his worst practice, but I would say – it was in his bottom three or four practices from a accuracy standpoint, from a playmaking standpoint. We just didn't see the Damon Williams that we're used to seeing. And hopefully that was just, hey, I'm out here in front of 20,000, almost 20,000 fans. He's probably never played in front of that many people.
I think the bullets were flying a little faster today, too.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit different. They were sending some blitzes his way. They were doing some different things. So... I think it's good for him to get these I don't want him to have if I'm a coach, I don't want him to have it easy. I want him to be tested, especially during practice.
And Chris, he should still be in high school. And I know there's people out there saying, is there a quarterback battle? Will Rogers is the starting quarterback. When it comes to, you know, the presence in the pocket, knowing where to throw the ball, I mean, it's obvious that one is quite a bit more experienced than the other.
Yeah, Teddy Purcell, 4-5 for 61, baby. We got a legit competition going on. Don't slight him. Don't slight him.
So the thing about Will Rogers, and unless there is an injury or his game, he doesn't Chuck Knoblauch and can't throw from second to first anymore, Will Rogers is going to be the starter game one against, who do they play? Eastern Michigan.
Oh, don't ask me.
Yeah. Whoever, Toledo.
Game one.
Weekend, or it's Labor Day weekend, whoever they're playing, he's the starter. After that, I could see a scenario where Damond Williams is the starter by the time we're into October. But that's a lot of that's going to depend on his development. A lot of it's going to depend on the offensive line. A lot of it's going to depend on Will Rogers and his comfort level. And if Washington, let's say they enter October 4-1, right? Or the first week of October, after the first week of October, 4-1. You're going with the more experienced guy because you're trying to make a run to get to a bowl game, possibly a playoff. Let's be honest. The playoffs is, it should be way off in the distance for any Husky fan right now. This team is kind of a patchwork right now until we find out who these mystery recruits are that Coach Fish is
referring to. Talk about
that in a minute. Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. But I just think that a lot depends on where they're at. If they're 2-3 going into that sixth game, I could see a scenario where Damond Williams is your starter.
Well, I think the Damond Williams we saw tonight and the Damond Williams that we're going to see, you know, after a week of fall ball will be completely different.
Well, and you also see where his strengths lie. His strengths don't lie in the passing game right now.
Mm-hmm.
His strengths lie. People saw it tonight. He's got wheels. I mean, I had him down for 5 carries for 28 yards. I think pretty much all of that was in the first half. But there were a couple carries that if this thing had really gone and then we're live, he may not have gotten touched for like 15, 20 yards.
But
so
I think a lot of people are thinking he's a dual threat quarterback. And everybody I've talked to said, no, he's a pocket quarterback.
He's a pass-first quarterback who has the wheels to run and hurt defenses.
Yeah, this
wants
is
to throw the ball.
This is a pro-style offense, guys. This is the this is the offense of Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan and all the – this is a pro-style attack. That said, that is not Damond Williams' strength right now. And when it comes down to it, when it comes to him as a playmaker, when it comes to the guy who needs to lead the offense down the field, what is he best at right now? He's best at basically creating chaos with his feet.
He is not the 4-inch shorter version of Jaden Daniels.
No.
Not yet. He could be, but not yet.
Yeah, I just don't see him.
Jaden Daniels wasn't the same size version of Jaden Daniels' fifth year.
Yeah.
Or fourth year is. Was that
he was a much different guy. So he was a much different guy at ASU, for instance. Like at LSU, I think he used his feet a lot more at LSU than he ever tried to use his feet.
Well, they had
at
a
ASU.
Lot of designed runs for him, too. I don't see him doing as many designed runs for Damond.
No.
Probably not. But
Jed
at the same
time, Jed Fish and Brennan Carroll have already said that's not our offense.
Yeah. You've got some stats.
Yeah. We can, since we've been talking about the quarterbacks, I can tell you. So, again, take these all with a grain of salt, guys. These are very unofficial stats. I mean, I tried my best.
This is what Chris is doing as his best.
I'm trying to go with the play because Scott was given the highlights in the game thread, but I was trying to keep track of the stats.
Who did the math?
I did the math.
Okay, just checking.
So, for the quarterbacks, I had them combined 28 of 49 for 322 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And that includes the pass from Carson Bruner to Jonah Coleman.
How far was
for
that?
For 43 yards.
Okay.
So Will Rogers was 13 of 25 for 158 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Damond Williams was 10 of 18 for 60 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. And Teddy Purcell, 4 of 5 for 61. Don't sleep on him.
And then
I know people think I'm joking.
And then Carson Bruner.
But they need to have a scout. They need to have a good scout team quarterback, I'm telling you. And then, Carson Bruner, 1-of-1 for 43. So now we can go to the running backs. Combined, I had 26 carries for 105 yards and 1 touchdown. And
So they got in about 80 snaps.
Yeah, 49 passes and 26 runs. So what is that, 75? Yeah, 75 plays. Roughly. So I had Jonah Coleman with 4 carries for 18 yards.
He ran hard.
He did run hard, but, you know, again, just didn't find that crease.
He had that 1 11-yard run, but other than
that. Everything else was pretty much bottled up. Adam Muhammad, the true freshman, who I think we've been really high on all spring, went 6 for 15 and 1 touchdown. Basically shut down second half. I think he had maybe like 1 or 2 carries for -1 yard second half. Daniel got it, 5 carries for 24 yards, very solid. Ryder Bumgarner, the walk-on from Stanwood, if I remember right. He went 4 for 13. Damond Williams, again, we had 5 for 28. And Teddy Purcell had 2 runs in the second half for 7 yards.
Post-game, you know, talking to Jed Fish, he seemed to think the biggest improvement was along the offensive line. And he's got guys playing center, never played center in their life, and we talked about this quite a bit. You know, early on in practice, balls were on the ground from the center. But he mentioned, you know, Parker Cross as being one of the guys who's really improved from day one to day 15.
Yeah, well, so is
well, he said they literally had nobody that had even snapped.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, he talked about Zachary Hanning. He also talked about Michael Watkins.
Yeah, he said basically if you snapped in peewees, you were snapping for us.
The guys they had coming back that had snapping experience were the guys that were banged up in Landon Hatchett and Gard Memelar. So that's – and I'm not sure if Gard ever – he never snapped in high school.
Not in high school.
I think – did Scott Huff get him to try to snap a little bit? I forget.
He gave him some reps there. I don't know if that was really –
I mean, you really have to have at least
Scott
four
Huff
or five.
Scott Huff wanted five.
You got to have at least four or five guys that are capable of snapping. So – and they've got the, you know, TTLE from Portland State who should be coming in, and he's definitely a guy that they would probably lean on heavily at center if Landon Hatchett's not fully available by the beginning of the year. So they've got some things that they're doing in there. And, again, I know we told you guys we'll talk a little bit about the guys that are coming in or guys that we think might be coming in terms of numbers. If you guys also the receiver core, you guys mentioned Denzel Boston right off the top. I had Denzel Boston for 7 catches for 128 yards and 1 touchdown. I had Jeremiah Hunter, the transfer from Cal, 4 catches for 25 yards and 1 touchdown, and that included a 2-point conversion. I had Jonah Coleman with 2 catches for 42 yards, including the one from Carson Bruner. Had Giles Jackson with 2 catches for 21 yards. Keith Reynolds, the redshirt freshman, 2 for 7. I had Rasheed Williams, 1 for 9. And Rasheed's kind of been running with the ones most of spring. So Decker DeGraff, the true freshman tight end, 1 for 6. We had Adam Muhammad, 1 for 3. And then basically walk-ons, except for Quentin Moore, had 1 for 2. Sermon, 1 for 19.
Lucchini, that was a nice catch.
Yeah, Lucchini, 1 for 16, which was also a nice catch. And then Jouard had 1 for 16.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Asked Coach Fish, I wanted to make sure I asked him about it before he got out of there because it looked like they were trying to cut the press conference post-game short, but I wanted to make sure and get in there that how many more additions to the roster that they anticipated bringing in with transfers and that. And he said
he dropped a bomb.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I
tweeted it afterwards, and I'm like, Husky fans should be all over that because we've got a lot of people – we're really worried about the numbers and where things are at. I think
he said they're full.
No, he didn't say they're full.
He said they're close.
He said they're close to full is what he said. And if that's the case, that means they've got six, seven guys committed.
Because I ran the numbers. You guys asked me to run the numbers, so I ran them. And now with Jordan Whitney gone, it bumped the number back up to 10, based on what we know publicly, and that includes guys. That includes the freshmen that are coming in for the leap in June.
Well, what he said was that he couldn't talk about guys that are committed but haven't yet signed.
Yeah,
and
you know why?
But that includes
because he doesn't want other schools coming in on.
But what I'm saying, that includes some of the guys that are already publicly known, like D'Angelo TTLDE, and some of these other guys that they've already talked about.
Harrington.
Chris Adams, the kids from Old Dominion. Yeah. Those
Jayden
guys.
Wayne.
Well, they've announced some of them, haven't they?
No.
They haven't announced because they don't sign.
Yeah, they haven't signed anything.
The kids haven't announced.
Well, and now they, just to make sure technically, Kim, they can sign something It would just be a scholarship agreement, so they could announce them now if they wanted to.
Well, he said that nothing is official until
they're enrolled
on June 17th.
And the reason for that is, even if they sign a scholarship agreement, like if Jaden Wayne Preston came back and signed tomorrow, it only binds the school. It does not bind the player. So I keep telling people, because we even saw kids that were enrolled, like Jeremy Bernard, left when they did with the coaching change and everything. Yeah. So what I tell people nowadays, until you see them literally on the field playing, that's when you know that they're on the team. That's the only way you know.
So you're thinking that with the roster as it is, with the number of commitments that we know about, that there's still 10 people, or as many.
I would say seven.
There's 10 spots on the roster.
And I would say
over half. To get to 85.
Yes. I would say over half of those open spots are already taken.
With guys that nobody knows about.
Nobody knows about.
And that also assumes, you guys, that there's no additional attrition.
Correct.
That's assuming no one right now who's on the roster at Washington doesn't leave. Is that possible? I think one more or two more guys could potentially.
You kind of did a double take when he dropped that, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, tweet. I got on my phone like right away. Oh, that's got
to
go out.
And this is the other thing that might blow some people's minds that especially pay a lot of attention to this kind of thing. Because Caden Proctor, and that's a name I'll drop. Caden Proctor is a kid that played as a true freshman at Alabama. He was the left tackle, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then after the season was over, he said he was going
to
go.
Hold on. He was committed to Iowa and enrolled there early.
Right.
Then he went to transferred to Alabama in the summer.
Okay.
Played for Alabama, transferred back to Iowa.
Right.
Got an NIL deal there, so he's now on his third NIL deal. And then after playing spring ball with Iowa,
he's saying he's going back to Alabama. The only reason I dropped Caden Proctor's name is because there was something that was publicly reported where he was in the portal. He was officially in the portal, so all the schools knew he was available to be recruited. But he put a tag on his profile specifically saying he did not want to be contacted. So unless we can show that there are certain guys out there in the database for the transfer that say we do not want to be contacted, there might be guys out there that are in the portal right now that we don't publicly know about.
I am sure that if a kid puts on his Twitter he doesn't want to be contacted, I'm sure every coach in the country respects that.
Kim, we're not talking about Twitter. We're talking about the portal.
Yeah, I'm sure they all respect that. Yeah. So, but
If they don't, that kind of stuff gets around.
Yeah, well, you know how it goes. They don't talk to the kid. They don't contact the kid. They contact the agent.
Yeah, or the parents.
Well, isn't that why you have agents?
Yeah, so... Anyways, let's go ahead and wrap this up. It's late on a Friday night, and
come on.
You have things to do, Kim?
This has been a long... This spring ball has been... Has this been more of a grind than
we've
ever
done? It's because it's 5 weeks instead of four. Usually they do 3 weeks of four practices each week, and then they do three practices that final week, with the last practice being... Saturday's spring game. I'm not complaining. Nobody's going to feel sorry for us.
I think a lot of it is because they're having it in the afternoon.
That's what I was going to say. Bottom line is the change in the schedule, the fact that some of us don't, you know, if we're out here, we're probably up here until maybe 9 plus on a weekday night, or, you know, on the in Saturdays, we're probably here until 2 or 3, depending on 3 or 4, depending on what's going on. The change in schedule is probably the reason why it feels more of a grind, on top of the fact, like Scott said, it's an additional week.
Hey, before we wrap it up, Scott, just a recruiting update.
So there are, I think it's seven. I don't have my phone with me.
Well, KGR said this afternoon when they were talking to Shaq Thompson and Lincoln Kennedy, there were going to be 160 recruits. Okay,
Chris, there was 160 high school kids down
there. I'm sure there were.
And 140 of them did not have the pre-printed, passes. So those are just guys.
So the thing is, I know that there was Julian McMahon, Ansu Sano. Those are two commits, one from 2025, one from 2026.
Both running backs.
CJ Wallace was here as well, the kicker, who's committed for 2026. So, and then they had a bunch of local guys who were on campus, and everything like that. They had Rainey Saleh, Zadarius Rainey Saleh, the top guy in the 2025 class, was here on an unofficial. These are all unofficial visitors. Then the official visitors, there were seven. We've got those listed on the site, not just on the official visit drop down, but I also put up a thing with the official visitors on Wednesday. I think it was my Wednesday blog or Thursday blog that I had. And then our Wednesday blog and then Thursday blog was about the portal guys who are going to be in town. And there were five or six portal guys who are going to be on official visits as well. So including a linebacker from, I don't have all the names in front of me because I left my phone out on the desk out there. But linebacker from Michigan is here. Two guys from Sac State. One's a DN and one's a DN, D tackle, hybrid kind of guy, and safety. Then they also had
a quarterback,
Nevada tight end Kaliki Latu.
Quarterback is a kid from Hawaii for next year.
That's a 2025 kid. So
they had a portal quarterback.
So yeah. Well, I thought you weren't going to mention that.
No. Well, Sam Heward was on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Well, Softy mentioned that too before.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Yes. Sam was here.
So yeah. Okay. So, but he wasn't on an official visit or anything.
I don't think so.
No. But anyway, so it's busy. I mean, and tomorrow, guess what happens? All the coaches fly out on the road.
Well, I was going to say, Kim, I think the reason why Fish wanted to get out of there real quick with the media today is because he probably has some recruits he's got to suck up to tonight during dinner and what have you, especially some of those top guys that they need to get after. So,
just real quick, Sam, he likes it here. He's got a lot of options, so we'll see what
happens. Sam Heward, just to make sure people.
Yeah, and nothing imminent with Sam. So, I mean, sounds like he's going to go take some visits, and there's some interesting options out there for him. So, it's just Sam bleeds purple and gold, so we'll see what happens. But nothing imminent to going on with Sam. So, anyways, you want to wrap it up, Chris?
Sure. No, I think it was, again, a really strong spring. Definitely felt a little unusual at times because the schedule kind of got flipped on us. Sometimes practices were going to be on a Tuesday instead of a Wednesday or a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday. And sometimes they were a little later than normal, so we kind of had to go with the flow a little bit. But it was really good to get to know a number of these coaches now. The staff seems pretty rock solid. And honestly, in games like this, they had the one pass from Bruner to Jonah Coleman, but other than that, did you see anything that really kind of, I don't know, it felt pretty vanilla, honestly, when all things were told. But again, I think situationally, they got a lot of stuff done this spring, especially when it came to doing some of those end-of-game things, being able to have a drive, whether it was a two-minute drive or a four-minute drive, to get down to kick a field goal, for instance. I mean, Grady Gross is as solid as it comes nowadays. I mean, he's gone from being the guy that might be, Peyton Henry's heir apparent to all of a sudden being like, who was Peyton Henry?
Yeah.
He was hitting field goals, especially with the ones going to east into the lake. He hit one from 42 with the wind that could have been easy 55 to 58. I mean, it wasn't even close. The thing was just rocketing. So I thought a lot of positive things. Still kind of unsure what's going to happen defensively. I still think the jury's out on a lot of that stuff. But obviously the biggest thing is, what's the offensive line going to be looking like once they come back in August and we really kind of see these, see what the final team's going to look like going into the fall camp.
Wrap it up, Scott Eklund.
Good day overall. A lot of what we saw in fall camp, in spring ball, you guys got the chance to see it out there today. Damon Williams didn't play up to what we had seen him. I expect to see him really improve over the summer and into the fall camp, and just a good way to end things. And now things really pick up because we don't have on-field stuff. It's all recruiting. And that's kind of on me, but you guys obviously do stuff with it too. And so we're going to have a lot going on because the coaches fly out tomorrow. I think tomorrow and Sunday they all fly out, and then Monday they're just going to be blitzkrieging everywhere. They're going to go California. They're going to be in Texas. They're going to be in Louisiana, Alabama. Ladarian Clardy is one of the safeties they have in. He's a 91 or 92 in the rankings. He's a guy that they really want badly for the safety spot. And so they're going after him really hard. He's from Alabama. I mean, Washington, you're going to hear about coaches being in states that are not regularly inhabited by the University of Washington coaches.
Kind of picking up to where the last staff went off, because the last staff was going to some different states.
Being the fact that they're in the Big Ten now, they're going to be able to recruit a lot of those kids in the middle parts of the country that they haven't really had a chance to before.
I was also going to say, before we wrap it up, Kim, I know, Scott, recruiting is going to be the heaviest thing, following these coaches around, finding out where they're at on the road, seeing how they're doing with guys, and especially how they finish up with some of these portal guys, what visits they take, things like that. It's going to be super important. I just want people to understand, we're not done with spring ball.
No.
There's still a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about with spring ball. We're going to be dissecting things. We're going to be coming out with our version of what we would consider to be kind of the seating chart, of just letting people know kind of what they saw and everything like that. But we're also going to do everything we do normally. Like, we're going to do post-spring, position by position, recaps, what we saw, like the whole of spring, and everything else. So there's going to be a lot of that stuff involved as well.
Good to be back in Husky Stadium. One of the questions I wanted to ask Coach Fish, I didn't, because we talked about this, where he said he didn't like practicing inside the stadium because he felt it was kind of sacred in that, but I wanted to ask him how much that wind really impacted the quarterbacks. Didn't get a chance to, so I'm sure I'll talk to some other people, but it's always...
He raved about Husky Stadium, by
the
way.
He loves the place. Yeah, it was good to see a lot of the former players back. I wanted to try to get a picture of Vita Vea, Danny Shelton, and Lincoln Kennedy together, but I didn't.
Some big boys.
Yeah, just that's some beef.
The scary thing is, Vita Vea might be the smallest of the two of those guys.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and for those who haven't seen Lincoln.
He's still playing.
Lincoln's getting smaller. He's losing weight. He's looking good. And I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but it's something that's cool. For those who've been down the tunnel and seen all the plaques for all the bowl games.
Yeah, I posted that on the thread.
They now have the plaque up for the Sugar Bowl with the win over Texas. So that was pretty cool to see. So I think there's going to be there's just so much. These coaches are going to be really, really busy, not only with recruiting and assembling a roster, but there's just a lot for them to grab with film, because they're still getting to know these guys. So it's going to be interesting to see who those guys, how this roster fills.
They get a lot of credit for bringing out these people to this particular game, because, again, we talked about up top, probably the most we've seen in a very long time. That said, does the momentum carry over to that game one? Because that game one, non-conference opponent, usually a lower-level opponent, usually it's a time where people come out for the weather if it's nice out. But if they get 50 to 55,000, it's almost considered a good outing, but I guarantee you Fish would want to sell this thing out game one.
Yeah, I also had a chance, just off the record, talk to Danny Sprinkle a little bit, you know, the men's basketball coach, and Jerry Hobby was there, and they announced all the additions to the coaching staff, and Sprinkle's just trying to assemble a roster. I asked him if he'd met Steve Ballmer, and he goes, no. Why? I said, he was here. He goes, when was he here? And I said, Tuesday. He goes,
Monday.
He goes, how's out recruiting, dude? So, but anyways, they have one recruit on campus for an official right now. So,
can we see who it is?
I'll put it on the message board.
Okay, sounds good.
Put it on the message board. So, anyways, let's wrap this up. It's late Friday night, and get a little chance to breathe, maybe a day and a half to breathe. So, until we see. Hit it back on.
Well, you make that sound so easy, Kim.
Yeah. For all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnell, along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.